Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Deep down the middle, he's got his man, and he's gone. Jason Swain, touchdown.
Well, it's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his house and a Ric Flair.
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top lunch barbecue restaurant in America, 865-255-03. Got the Swain Event intro remix this morning. Oh, yes, sir. Ben McKee, GoVols 247. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Central Studio. Ben is in South Carolina. Was at the game last night, the game where Tennessee clinched the regular season SEC championship. Ben, how you feeling, man? How you living?
I'm very tired, but I'm good. Ooh. Living well. Hope you're living well as well.
Ooh.
I'm in a separate dungeon this morning. I feel like I look even more captured this morning. More of a prison setting, that they are feeding me well. They're treating me well. Wink, wink. No, but I'm good for somebody who is in Columbia, South Carolina. Although I guess technically I'm in the home of Jalen Hyatt.
It's a nice town.
I'm in Irmo moment.
Yeah, it's a nice town. No shade. No shade to South Carolina. Columbia is a nice town. I mean, it's a great town for women's basketball. It's a great town for women's basketball. Fantastic. Awesome downtown.
I saw Dawn Staley last night.
Huh?
I saw Dawn Staley last night.
Did you speak? You say what's up?
No, she's too far away.
Oh, okay. You didn't wave? You didn't give her a head nod?
Mm-mm.
What,
no.
What up? No? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nope. The true Lady Vol fans give her the side eye.
Okay. That's cool. Ain't nothing wrong with a little competing. Whatever. I mean, I think a lot of Lady Vol fans like Dawn Staley. I heard that a lot of Lady Vol fans was actually around her taking pictures. Saw that. Hey, it's all good. She was trying to support the boys. She was supporting the boys. And the boys have had a great season. I think South Carolina's a really, really good team. I like how they play. I respect how they play. I think Lamont Paris should be National Coach of the Year, SEC Coach of the Year. He's been great, man. I mean, to take a team that last year lost to Tennessee by 40 points. And then have the drama that was going on with, one of your players over there from Memphis, G.G. Jackson, and then totally flip the script and then have a team that was picked last in the SEC in the preseason, and to have this team playing for the regular season conference championship at the beginning of March, dude, I mean, how can you not respect that? How can you not respect that? So I respect the heck out of what he has done there, South Carolina. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
1,000%. 1,000%. And you have to, if really you're a fan of anybody else in the SEC or in the entire country. Rick Barnes has raved about Lamont Paris the last several days. And I believe that Rick is being as genuine gets about that. He he said a couple of times that if he had a vote for National Coach of the Year, he would vote for Lamont Paris.
Yeah.
And the job that he has done, and I agree with Rick. I mean, Lamont Paris has been phenomenal this season. The players have been phenomenal this season. Mm-hmm. Michi Johnson, Colin Murray Boyles, so many guys. Talon Cooper, the point guard from Minnesota. B.J. Mack, the transfer from Wofford. They have several big-time players. Miles Studi continues to find ways to knock down big shots against Tennessee. That's apparently what he does.
Yep.
He is
not enough.
A Vol killer. Last night was not enough, though, to your point. But just a terrific job. And as we were following Rick out of the media room last night to head back towards the locker room to talk to players, Rick and Lamont passed in the hallway. And Rick even continued to rave off record and told Lamont, you're going to win a lot of teams and you're going to win a lot of games in the NCAA tournament. You're going to do a lot of damage. And I would not at all be surprised. They don't necessarily play the most appealing brand of basketball in terms of high-octane offense that basketball displays quite a bit nowadays. But they're a really good basketball team. And last night's game for 40 minutes reflected that, I thought.
I like how they have guards that get downhill, man. I love how they're able to get to the rim. They are tough as nails. I like how their team is built, made up of a bunch of guys that probably wasn't good enough where they came from when they initially picked their first school and transferred to South Carolina with a chip on their shoulder and something to prove. Reminds me a lot of how Rick Barnes has built this program with guys that were similar. I mean, I'm a big fan of Talon Cooper. I mean, dude's tough as all get out. I'm a big fan of Michi Johnson. Man, he's a problem driving the ball to the basket. But Rick Barnes had a plan. We took over the job at Tennessee. I remember doing the show. This was the second year of doing the show independently in 2015. And when this job was available, Texas had just fired Rick Barnes. And I remember tweeting, this is not rocket science. Go hire Rick Barnes. Go hire Rick Barnes now. And put out a top five list of candidates for Tennessee to hire. 1 through 5 was Rick Barnes. The reason why is because you're going to get someone that's established, someone that knows how to build a program the right way, a proven winner, and that's what you need. And when he was hired, some thought that it was the worst hire, that you should shut down the program. When he was building the foundation here at the University of Tennessee from a plan that he constructed because he knew what it was going to take to build a winner on today's college basketball, he knew that he was going to have to get some lower rated guys and develop them, build them, create the foundation, the culture. And that's exactly what he did. Everything that Rick Barnes has planned to do, Tennessee, he has done except for get to a Final Four, get to Elite Eight, win championship. But the construction of this program is right on time for Rick Barnes. Of course, you want to do everything faster. I understand that, no doubt about that. But the plan of building this Tennessee basketball program has gone according to plan. They said Rick Barnes couldn't recruit. They said Rick Barnes wasn't interested in recruiting. They said that Rick Barnes was just coming to Tennessee to retire and treat it as a vacation because his good years were already behind him, that he was close to his hometown of Hickory, North Carolina, that he was just going to cruise. And that's the opposite of what he has done. He has won 200 games here at Tennessee. Only two other coaches have done that. He has surpassed 800 wins, which one other coach that's coaching actively has done that. He has put Tennessee in a position to be in the top five. How many weeks? Hold on. I got my notes here. Let's see here. 25 times in the last 6 seasons. Rick Barnes of Tennessee has been in the top five. And before Rick Barnes got here,
you know,
17 times.
Yes, sir. I was going to highlight that. Oh. I was going to highlight that stat. That's the most impressive part about it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, there's been a road traveled to get here. We didn't just wake up and snap our fingers and get to this point. We need a refresher. People need a refresher of how we got here, what was said, what was done. Because a lot of people do a lot of talking. But it's the results that do the loudest of talking. The actions that speak louder than the words. And Rick Barnes has produced results, my friend, since he has been here. So give me, I'm watching the first part of the game because I like going back, Ben, and watching like how excited the crowd was because their belief level was like at an all-time high. The crowd was into it, beginning of the game. You know, they neck and neck and man, they think they got a chance to win the SEC. And like, I love seeing the South Carolina fans like believing to the second half, the belief level was still there. And then at the end of the game, obviously it goes away. And for some reason, they think that Jamal Mayshak fouled the three-point shooter in Talon Cooper. I know we in football country. That's not a foul, Carolina fans. Excuse me, South Carolina fans. That is not a foul. You can't jump into a defender to try to draw a foul. That's not how it works. That's not how it works in basketball. But man, just give me a little overview, dude, of the environment there. Man, a lot of Rocky Top I was hearing at the end of the game. Was it that many Tennessee fans, or were they just that loud?
Yes, there were a lot of Tennessee fans, and they did not want to leave. The ushers and security inside of Colonial Life Arena was yelling over and over, y'all got to go. You can't stay here. And nobody was listening. Nobody was leaving. And instead, they were singing Rocky Top. They were chanting how great it is to be a Tennessee Volunteer, V-O-L-S, that chant as well. Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty cool, special scene, especially after Dalton walked off the floor because Dalton did the post-game TV interview on the floor. And so he was the last guy to the locker room, and he had a cool moment with Tennessee fans who had all walked down to that corner of the arena where he was going to walk out. And I did post that video on my Twitter if anybody wants to see that who has not seen that just yet. But it was a really cool moment. I want to go back real quick to you talking about your thoughts on Rick.
Yeah.
When he was fired at Texas, they did not ways. Rick would still be at Texas probably if it were up to him. Texas made a mistake in letting him go. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee has absolutely benefited from that. But the cool thing that really has nothing to do with the basketball game last night, I vividly remember driving back from Gulf Shores, listening to you and Stokes that morning talk about how Tennessee needs to hire Rick Barnes, my now wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, obviously. We went down with my mom to Gulf Shores to watch my sister play in a softball tournament for spring break. And we drove all the way, well, not all the way back because it's a 5-6 hour drive and you were only doing 3 hours, but we half the car ride was listening to you and Stokes break down why Tennessee should go get Rick Barnes. So I vividly remember. I remember stopping at a rest area for some reason and like leaving my phone on, listening while I was going inside to use the bathroom and not even turning it off. So I don't know, just a pretty ironic moment considering the path that I have taken since high school. But yeah, last night was really cool. I guess you could say it was a long time coming. I mean, it is Rick's second SEC regular season championship. It's just his first outright one. I think it just really speaks to his continued success at Tennessee and just continues to establish this as, I don't know if you want to say arguably, Swain, but I'll say arguably for now, the best era in Tennessee basketball history. The reason I say arguably or kind of hesitate there is just because I do think maybe that Final Four or Elite Eight would really solidify that. But I mean, it's been a terrific run of Tennessee basketball. And last night was a culmination of a lot of cool aspects of this program. How far it's come, the Santiago Vescovi, Josiah Jordan James storyline, mm-hmm. the Dalton Connect storyline, role players like Jemai Meshack being stars in their roles, Zakai Ziegler, Jonas Adu, those two, and how well they've played this season along with Dalton. And then obviously the phenomenal coaching job that Rick has done. A whole lot of people were on Rick's butt at the end of last season about how he needed to tweak some things over the offseason,
which is fair,
offensively, and get better offensively, which was absolutely fair. He needed to.
Yep.
But how many of those people doubted that Rick would actually do it and didn't think that he would actually do it? And Rick recognized it, changed it. Now he won an SEC championship, and we'll see what they end up doing in the big dance. But this team certainly feels like the team to get over the hump. Maybe not the best comparison because of how it ended up playing out, but I feel about this basketball team going into the NCAA tournament the way I felt about the 2022 Tennessee baseball team going into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I don't think that this basketball team is as talented or as dominant as that baseball team.
Correct.
But what more do you want from Tennessee basketball heading into the NCAA tournament? Like, what else would you need to believe in this team going into the big dance? Because I don't see any flaws with this roster or this program at the moment going into it. And to me, I'm more worried about a bad shooting night costing them in a game than a flaw within the team, within the roster, preventing them from going as far as they should.
Well, is there a weakness? Yeah. You just can't expose them. Like, the depth on the front line is potentially a weakness beyond Adu and Awaka, but you can't expose them. Like, you haven't seen a bunch of teams be able to expose Tennessee. We know the tournament is about matchups. And so, like, if Tennessee plays against a team that is really deep in the front line, then that's going to be a concern for Tennessee with the scout report. And they're going to combat that with trying to play to their strengths and making sure that the opponent is unable to stop what Tennessee does well and does the best job at. So I love the comparison of the 2022 baseball team because that was a team that everyone loved. Man, they had a lot of fun that season. It was fun watching them. That 2018-19 basketball team was fun to follow, fun to watch. I think this team is better than that team because they can beat you in so many different ways. And you made the point about Rick Barnes this being like the greatest era of Tennessee basketball. I always factor in, and I ask Jimmy Dykes this 2 weeks ago on The Nation on a Sunday about the evolution kind of Rick Barnes and having to, like, think about this. We've seen Roy Williams, Coach K, Nick Saban. We've seen other head coaches leave the game to go to the NFL, college football, head coaches go be a coordinator. Like, the changes going on in athletics right now, it's making folks leave the game. Rick Barnes has adapted. He's adapted with the transfer portal. He's adapted with the NIL. Because at first, Rick was like, I don't know about that. I don't know about the NIL. I don't know. Adapted. Boom. Adapted every single time. And that's what makes Nick Saban so great, because for a long time, you know, he adapted to the style of the game in football on the field. Well, off the field, folks have just said, you know what, I'm good, I'm retired. And Rick has been able to navigate up until this point. And so that's why what Rick has done here at Tennessee is so great and so awesome. But, man, another great performance by Zakai Ziegler. I've been continuing to beat this drum about Zakai Ziegler being the best point guard in the SEC, putting him up against anyone as far as nationwide. I asked Ron Slate, SEC Network, VFL, former SEC Player of the Year. I asked him about where does Zakai stack up as far as being a two-way guard, two-way point guard in the country. And the only person, that was in the conversation for Ron Slate. I think this point guard is better than Zakai. I love me some Zakai, but ain't nobody better as a two-way point guard than Shed at Houston. Ain't nobody better. Ain't nobody better, man. He's special. But Z is in the same conversation. He's just not as good as Shed, in my opinion. But a 5'9", 5'8 point guard that is impacting the game on both sides of the court like Zakai Ziegler is a big reason why Tennessee's in the position that it's in, along with Don Kinnick, man.
There's not a point guard in the country I'm taking over Zakai Ziegler. I don't disagree with what you're saying about Shed being better, maybe on both ends of the floor.
That means you'll take
him over Ziegler. And I've said this.
You would take Shed over him?
Nope, I'm taking Zakai Ziegler over every point guard in the country because, okay, as I've said the last couple of weeks, when you consider the leadership aspect of it and the toughness and the killer mentality and all the intangibles to go along with what Zakai provides you from a simple basketball standpoint on offense and defense, because would you agree that, okay, Shed from a basketball standpoint, probably better than Zakai, but it's not, would you agree that it's not by a big gap?
No, it's not by a big gap. But I mean, if someone put a gun to my head and say, hey man, you got to pick one or the other, I'm going to take the one that's slightly better. And I don't know about Shed's leadership qualities because I don't follow Houston, but I know which one's a better point guard, just the eye test. That's all. But that's one dude.
And I'm not disagreeing. Correct. And yes, I don't think you're wrong for what you're saying at all. But for me, and I've said this several times over the last couple of weeks, when the gap isn't that big of a difference from Zakai to the quote unquote best point guard in the country, all the intangibles that come with Zakai is why I would take Zakai. Because when my life is on the line with a gun to my head, I want Zakai Ziegler leading the way. Part of the reason I picked Tennessee to win last night, yeah, I think Tennessee's better than South Carolina, but there is a championship on the line with Zakai Ziegler being the heart and soul and the leader of this basketball team. And I knew that he was not going to lose, and he didn't. He bounced back with a very strong performance. So when you have the intangibles that Zakai has that are just, you're born with it, quite frankly, and then you have the background of him playing in New York and this and that kind of built him and made him, I'm taking him over everybody in the country. Because even the kid at Marquette, the kid at Houston, some of these other guys that you can fairly mention, and not going to fault anybody for saying they're better from a basketball standpoint, the intangibles makes up all of that. And I'll even go back and say, it might have been Vol fan on the text box 3 or so years ago when I said I'd rather have a year of Jabari Smith than 4 years of Zakai Ziegler, because I thought within that 1 year, you have a better shot at winning a national championship than winning a championship with Zakai Ziegler over the course of 4. And I was completely wrong. I swung and missed greatly on that take. I mean, that's a horrible take in hindsight. I would, now looking back at it, I would absolutely rather have 4 years of Zakai Ziegler than 1 year of Jabari Smith, because Zakai's become a better player than I anticipated him becoming. I thought he would be good. I didn't think he would be great. I didn't think he would go down as one of the all-time Tennessee greats. Because at that time, he was still a underrated, scrappy young pup. And I didn't quite think he'd develop it into what he is now. But Tennessee has the chance to go win a national championship with Zakai Ziegler leading the way alongside Dalton and Josiah and Santi and the others. So I don't think you can state enough just how important Zakai Ziegler is to this basketball team.
Yep. 100%, man. 100%. ZZ, man. and you can tell the focus is EZ because he didn't get caught up in the crowd. Like, I don't know if you noticed that, but I noticed that watching him on TV. Like, we've seen him talk with some of the guys or people in the crowd, the opposing fans, that he'll entertain it. He wasn't entertaining any of that last night. Didn't even react to big shots being made, big plays being made. Zakai Ziegler was locked in and focused, man. Locked in and focused. One more point.
And it's ridiculous. And it's ridiculous that he was left off the Bob Cousy finalists top five.
That's disrespectful.
Came out.
Yeah, that was disrespectful and flat out wrong. 865-255-03. We'll get to the Beatty Chevrolet text box when we come back. Stay with us. Swain Event fueled by Dan Barbecue.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, it's a new year. Low T Center can make it a great one. If you've been feeling tired and grumpy, have noticed a lack of motivation and drive, you may have low T. Low testosterone levels can cause weight gain, loss of muscle mass, and so much more. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels tested. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's only $25. And with their on-site lab, you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. Go to lowtcenter.com now to book your appointment online. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Hey there, Swain Event fam. If you're currently renting and just about priced out of your place, give me a call. Jennifer Morris with Keller Williams Realty at 865-257-7897. You may be able to buy a home and have monthly payments less than your rent. And wouldn't you rather pay your own mortgage than someone else's? Hope to hear from you soon, and go Vols!
Tennessee Volunteers are your SEC regular season champions outright. First time since 2008. The other time Tennessee accomplished this amazing, and I mean amazing, result. It was a long time ago. It was a very, very, very long time ago. And Benjamin, we wasn't even thought of, man. We wasn't even thought of. I think my mom was like seven. I think I was like seven. Yeah, 1967. So three times since 1967, Tennessee's won the SEC outright. Unbelievable. So we live in a day and age where everyone has a voice if you have social media. It doesn't matter if you're 15, 50. It doesn't matter if you have any experience, any qualifications. It doesn't really matter if you're wrong. people just say whatever. There's not a lot of accountability, which is one of my biggest issues with social media. It annoys me that people don't take more responsibility before pushing sin. Well, yesterday, man, I am on cloud nine, man, watching our boys celebrate and check off one item on the goal list. Because when you play in a conference like the SEC, and it's tough, it's no different than, you know, football in the 2000s. Like, your first goal is to win your conference. Every athlete knows this at this level. Most media members that cover college teams know this. The first goal is to win the conference. Then the next goal, Ben, is, you know this, what's the next goal?
To win a national championship.
To win a national championship. Now, we've seen people be able to win national championships without winning the conference championship. But you put yourself in a better position. You give yourself a better chance to win national championship if you win the conference championship, especially if you play in a very, very weak conference. So, goal number one, win the SEC. And Tennessee won the SEC, Ben, and arguably the hardest year ever in the SEC. A league that may get 8 or 9 teams in the dance. A league that at the end of the season, you had about 4 or 5 teams all right there with a chance to split for the conference title. A league, Ben, that I wouldn't be surprised if these teams are deep in the tournament. Correct me if I'm wrong. Of course, we start with Tennessee. I'm going to go with Kentucky. I'm going to go with Auburn. I'm going to go with South Carolina. I'm going to go with Florida. And maybe Alabama, if they get the right matchup and figure out how to play a little bit more defense. But I'm going to stay right there. I'm going to stay right there at 5, but maybe Alabama. Dude, that's 5 teams right off the rip that I wouldn't be surprised if they make a deep run in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, if I wanted to nitpick, I'd be surprised if Kentucky and Alabama made a run. I ranted about Kentucky on Tuesday. They're not consistent enough for me. They don't play good enough defense. And Alabama, the same way. Who has Alabama beaten? Their best win of the season is Mississippi State.
It's the draw.
And, their defense.
It's the draw.
Hey, what's that?
It's the draw. Conzo Martin's last year here. That team, because of the matchups, because of the draw, was a charge away from what, being in the Elite Eight? And that team, offensively during the year, was not as good as they could be, except for the Orange Mamba, Jordan McRae. But, like, that team was hard to watch offensively. So if you get the right draw, you just never know. But, like, yeah, Kentucky's flaws, defense, Alabama's flaws, defense. But, hey, man, if you're playing a team that can't score in the tournament, if you're Kentucky and Alabama, it's going to bode well for them. It's the draw.
Yeah, for sure. And it's neither here nor there on the morning after Tennessee wins an SEC championship. We can devote time 2 weeks from now going into the NCAA tournament, giving our thoughts on what other SEC teams are going to do. Maybe you and I can sit down for 30 minutes and record a podcast and put that out on what other SEC teams are going to do in the NCAA tournament. But today it's all about Tennessee, and your original point is that Tennessee won the SEC outright by running through a league that's arguably as best as it's ever been. Yep. It's certainly as best as it's ever been since Rick Barnes has been at Tennessee, which is next season will be a decade that Rick has been at Tennessee. So very impressive. Certainly earned. Earned is the word that comes to mind for this Tennessee basketball team, especially not only did they run through SEC play, over the course of 3 months, but the end, I mean, beating Auburn, which has been a thorn in your side, kind of exercising those demons. I mean, Bruce has had Tennessee's number the last couple of years. I mean, that's just a simple fact. And Alabama going to their place and winning in their building with College Game Day in town, and then turning around and pretty much doing the same thing in Columbia. Colonial was rocking last night. It was loud. It was very loud. And Tennessee, they were not fazed by either atmosphere. And you've got another big test coming up on Saturday against Kentucky. I hate to say it's meaningless, but it is in terms of the win-loss record. This game is now more about pride and just simply wanting to beat your rival and send the seniors out on top. Santi, Josiah, Dalton, Colin Coyne, the walk-on, they deserve to walk out of Thompson Bone Arena at Food City Center on the Summit for the final time with a win over Kentucky. That's what those seniors deserve. So they're playing for pride on Saturday, but they certainly earned this SEC championship. And I mean, it's that simple, because I do think that the SEC is as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, bro. Right there with you. So this team achieved the first goal. When you're doing your off-season workouts, when you're training and busting your butt and working on your game and you're sharpening your axe, you have goals that are visible and that help you and remind you when times get a little tough to push through. Remember why you started. When things get hard after you wrote down your goals, it's always good to go back and refer to those same goals, because that is what pushes you through when times get a little bit tough. Well, Tennessee, Dalton Connect, achieved the first goal. The next goal, obviously, is to win the SEC tournament. Do they need to be a number one seed? No, but why not? If you're good, why not win them all? Why not? Go win them all. But Tennessee beating South Carolina last night should be number one seed. To beat Kentucky, I don't think there's really a doubt. And we understand that the conference tournaments really don't matter when it comes to seeding in recent history.
It should,
but it doesn't. So I'm on Twitter, and I see a tweet by a national media dude. And it read, winning a regular season SEC title gets the ring celebration? It's a photo of Dalton Connect pointing to his ring finger. I saw it during the game live. Dalton Connect is incredible, but got to have bigger tournament goals. I saw this tweet, and I was like, we're putting down a player for celebrating in the moment, winning a championship, a conference championship, in the hardest year in league history? You got to win the regular season first before you can win the conference tournament, before you can win the NCAA tournament. You don't win the NCAA tournament before you win the regular season championship. Like, there's an order here. And I'm like, yo, what are we doing? What do we have to have a take? Sometimes it's best not to have a take. Sometimes it's best just shut up. This is one of those times. This is an athlete that put thousands of hours in the gym. This dude, Dalton Connect, was like 6'2 a couple months ago. This dude was at Northern Colorado. This dude was picked second all conference because he played on a bad team. This dude has not played on a good team in college. He finally gets here. He's like, whoo, I got ballers around me. I'm playing in the best league, arguably, in the country. And I have a Hall of Fame coach who's going to help me follow in the footsteps of my favorite player, Kevin Durant, who he coached in Texas. And in the moment of sealing a championship, my man points to his finger, and that's a problem?
It's ridiculous. I mean, Tennessee, they are going to, no matter, they can lose the first game in the SEC tournament, they can lose the first game in the NCAA tournament, they're still going to get a ring for winning an SEC championship. And SEC championships, I don't know why we're getting away from appreciating conference championships. That's what it, at least it feels like to me. But conference championships should always be celebrated. Yeah. They should absolutely always be celebrated because it's difficult to do. And conference play, to me, is kind of what makes college sports so great, because within conference play, you have all the bitter rivalry games. You have all the terrific competition and so on and so forth. We should not ever get away from celebrating conference championships or viewing conference championships as a huge accomplishment, because it is. That's not to say that it's the most important goal, because it's not. I guarantee you every single Tennessee player would trade that moment last night to play in the Final Four in a heartbeat. Yeah. And I don't blame them. I would too. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that what you did before you got to the big one is insignificant. It's very significant, and conference championships should always be appreciated. And I don't know if it's college basketball and people just think of the conference tournaments first and foremost. What Tennessee did these last 2.5-3 months is more impressive than anything it can do next weekend in Nashville, because Tennessee earned it over 2.5-3 months. They're going to play Mississippi State or LSU, it looks like, on Friday. And then Auburn, I believe, is the 4 seed currently. And if you played Auburn again, like, that'd be a very, very nice win. But winning an SEC tournament championship because you played well for one weekend pales in comparison, quite frankly, in my opinion, to playing as well as Tennessee did against the entire league over the course of nearly 3 months. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why we're getting away. It's not just college basketball. It feels the same with college football as well, but getting away from appreciating championships. To me, I thought it was like an incredible accomplishment growing up if you won your conference championship, because I think a lot of the reason that we love college athletics is because we hate the teams that are within our conference, and you're beating those teams. Yep. And it's great competition to win your conference championship. And I don't know why we're getting away from appreciating that as college fans, but we are. And I think it needs to stop. Not that I can wave a magic wand and make everybody stop, but I will never stop appreciating conference championships. And I'm not just saying this because Tennessee won. I would say the same if somebody else won. It is significant. Not the ultimate goal, but it's still significant and always should be.
865-255-03. Let's get to the phones. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Turkey Man?
Hey, buddy. Hey, man, you're looking good in that prison door you got, the prison room you're in over there. Hang loose. They'll bring grub after a while. They'll feed you.
I hope so. I'm just hoping. I'm waiting on this door to open. They're apparently renovating this hotel that I'm currently in, and there's construction all around me, so I'm just waiting on somebody to bust down this door.
You know, I don't know why somebody would have a problem with somebody wanting to get a ring or win a ring for winning an SEC championship, especially when you look back at our history in basketball, which is nothing to laugh at, especially in the SEC. In the SEC, we've, from Ray Mears on, we've had some really great Bernard King, Ernie Grunfeld, A.W. Davis. I mean, the list and list and list and list goes on. To win that is not easy to achieve, and has been something that we haven't received many of them over the years, even though we would probably rank way high if you look behind Kentucky, not far in that tradition. So I think that would be kind of foolish for somebody to even have a problem at all. This ain't the taxpayer blow ring or anything like that. That's the SEC championship with tradition. So that being said, I feel like if anybody would look at that, something's wrong with them. But the other thing is, why did we not cut down the nets last night?
You can't cut down South Carolina's nets.
Why?
Turkey Man, you let somebody come in your house and put their feet in your coffee table?
Well, I don't know, but I'm just about like...
You don't know? I hope not.
Well, I'm just saying I'd like to see them cut them down anyhow, but that's just me.
When have you seen an away team cut down the nets of a home team?
I think that's what they was concerned about, wanting everybody to leave. I heard Ben talk about that. Anyhow, that was just me. I wanted them down. I wanted them down, but...
If you was at home, if you want to cut them down, you know, after beating Kentucky, then cool. But you won the conference on the road, and so, you just don't cut down the nets that time. But if you want to cut them down at home, then beat Kentucky. You can do it.
You know, they win that game at Kentucky. It's probably the first time in a long time that you feel as a fan of the possibility going really far in the NCAA tournament. But what they have achieved in these last 3 or 4 or 5 games, they really stepped up, and you know, they did what they needed to do. And you can see what they achieved it wasn't easy to achieve what they did.
No, for sure. It's a tough league, Turkey Man. Tough league, and Tennessee was able to win it outright. Man, thanks so much for the call, my man. Kentucky ain't the standard in this league right now, and they haven't been for a couple of years. I mean, like, Tennessee beat Kentucky a couple of weeks ago, like, I wasn't like, oh, yeah, now you better start believing. No, like, like, Tennessee's better than Kentucky, period, point blank. I expect Tennessee to win at home on Saturday. That's just my expectation. Not saying I'm guaranteeing it, or I would be outraged if it doesn't happen, because Kentucky is a good team. But Tennessee's a better team, so I expect the better team to win at home on Senior Day. But you're not cutting down the nets somebody else's house. Like, you're just not doing that. I made a joke on Josh and Swain yesterday. We had a call, the texter actually, that said they were going to the game. And I said, man, bring a ladder. That'd be the only way we get a chance to cut down somebody else's net. They're not letting you do that, period, point blank. So it's funny. It's like Tennessee fans talking about going to the courthouse when it was Tennessee, Virginia versus the NCAA in federal court. Like, it started off funny, and then people was like, wait, people are actually going to do this? No, this is a terrible idea. Like, it's a funny idea, but, like, no one's going to go through it and really try to cut down the nets at South Carolina, man. You're talking about a brawl. Because if I'm on South Carolina's team, I'm not letting that happen. You ain't cutting down my nets. You can cut down your own damn nets. You can cut down my nets.
Hey, South Carolina tore down the court immediately and put up its hockey rink in Colonial Life Arena. So Tennessee could have helped take it down as well by taking down the nets.
They did it fast. You know the net cutting process is not fast. It's slow. Because everybody got to climb up the ladder, climb down the ladder, got to get a little snip of the net. They had some things to do. They were trying to hurry up.
I'll be curious to see if they should cut down the nets on Saturday.
If they win.
If they beat Kentucky.
If they win, yeah.
If they win. I do think they should, if they lose, they should still, after the season, maybe take the net down and cut it apart and give out a piece to everybody. I think that would be a cool token. I assume that the net has been used for every game this season, not just the Kentucky game. I think that'd be a cool little token from its SEC championship season. But I'm with you. Don't cut it down after you lose.
No.
Maybe wait a couple weeks and then spice it up and send out little tokens of gratitude and accomplishment afterwards. Because, I mean, Santi and Josiah and Dalton and everybody else, I think those guys deserve cool little things like that along the way on their way out the door as they had tried to accomplish the big goal. But if they win on Saturday, they absolutely should. And you didn't clinch the SEC on Saturday with a win over Kentucky, but it can serve as a celebration with Tennessee fans for winning the SEC this season.
865-255-03. Betty Chevrolet and BettyChevrolet.com text box here. Tina R said you need a Celsius or a Red Bull. LOL. Ben has been moving his pregnant wife and one-year-old son. Is he two yet? Not yet. Is he two?
He'll be two in July.
One-year-old son. I've done that before. No joke. And covering Tennessee athletics and baseball and basketball season, you get grace. You get grace, man. You can look the way you look, which is interesting. Big Willie Style says, Turkey Man choosing violence, I'm here for it. Cutting down the nets on the road is like Vin Rames and Baby Boy. Seriously, though, talk about this four-game gauntlet, great test for the tourney. For those that don't know what the Vin Rames and Baby Boy reference is, there was a scene in Baby Boy where Vin Rames, who was the boyfriend of the main character's mom, the main character was Tyrese Gibson, who was the son of the mom in the movie, and he was always known as Baby Boy. He was the mom's baby boy, and mom got a new boyfriend, and the new boyfriend one morning was in the kitchen cooking breakfast, butt naked. He was butt naked in the kitchen cooking breakfast. And so Baby Boy came out of his room one morning and saw this dude butt naked cooking breakfast. That's what Big Willie Styles means there. You come home and somebody butt naked in your kitchen cooking breakfast, you gonna have a problem with that. That will be Tennessee cutting out the nets in South Carolina. Just disrespectful. Just totally disrespectful. Which would be funny, but you can't do that. You can't do that. Jamel says I'm dead. About 50 laughing emojis. Brad says, get faster posting a podcast, man. Hey, it was posted Tuesday at 11. No, not 11, but before 10. Big Willie Style said that. Tramell says, definitely me, Ben. I told my homie I want a chip this year and was definitely overlooking this chip we just won. Oh, man, every chip matters. You stack them up. Stack them up. All right, for future reference, so we don't have to do this again. Every team going into the season, you have goals, okay? It is conference championship. If the conference has a tournament, you want to win that tournament, and then you want to go win the championship. Tennessee baseball was able to complete 2 out of 3 of those a couple years ago. Tennessee basketball a couple years ago was able to complete one of those things, and that's winning the conference tournament. Tennessee football in 98 achieved all of those things, right? So, like, there's goals that you have for yourself. And when you reach those goals, you should celebrate. But you don't lose sight of the main goal. The main goal is always to win a national championship. So, media members, stop trying to make it seem like that when someone celebrates, it's like a participation trophy, because it's not. It's not a participation trophy. Stop. If you were an athlete in anything, you probably would know that. in anything, at any level. Because my man Ben McKee did not play ball in college, but he played in high school, and you even know that that matters. It matters. Marking a goal off your list matters. And you can have another goal above that one, which is winning the conference tournament and then winning the national championship. Stack them up like Pringles. That's right, Jermaine. You got it. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yep, you got it. Turkey Man said, let's cut the nets down at South Carolina. Woo! And we don't need no problems. We need to be healthy for the next game, man. That would have been a scene. Vol fan says, every team also has really unbalanced schedules in conference play. Tennessee arguably had the toughest schedule in the toughest conference. No other team had home and aways with the top teams of the conference like Tennessee did. No one else had to play those top teams back to back to back. Yeah, like you go to the beginning of the season, Tennessee's playing Kansas, and they're playing Purdue, and they're playing North Carolina, and Purdue's on top of their league, and North Carolina's on top of their league, and Wisconsin was right there at one point, number one in their league at one point, and Tennessee was able to beat them. And then you look at the schedule in conference, like this is why Tennessee deserves to be number one seed, man. What they've done and teams they've played up against. Go ahead, Ben.
Two things. To Vol fans' point, Tennessee SEC teams, they have five home and homes during basketball. You have your two permanents, which for Tennessee, or three permanents, which is Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Kentucky. Currently in the top four, South Carolina, currently in the top four. So you have your three permanent. You play five overall, if I'm not mistaken. And your other two was Texas A&M, which they fell off. But your other one was Alabama. So when you look at Alabama, Kentucky, and South Carolina, who you had to play home and homes with during your conference schedule, that's three of the other top four or five teams in the league right now. And to Vol fans' point, nobody else is having to do that. And for Tennessee, the back end of those home and homes are coming down the stretch when you're trying to win an SEC championship. So it just increases the impressiveness of Tennessee's schedule, as you talked about, Swain, mm-hmm. and then what Tennessee was able to accomplish by overcoming that, because the draw in terms of the schedule was not in Tennessee's favor in terms of the teams that you had to play twice this year. Home and away. They were the teams at the very top of the SEC schedule outside of Auburn. And then I wanted to ask you, you keep mentioning the number one seed in the NCAA tournament, and I do agree with you, but I do think it is an interesting question. I'm sure you've seen some of this because I've seen some of it here and there. Would it be more advantageous for Tennessee to be a two seed and stay relatively close to home than being the one seed out west and being shipped off to LA? I know we've got our guys out there in Cali who are dedicated Swain Event listeners.
Big Willie
several
style.
Of them.
Rusty, yeah.
Big Willie style. We got Rusty. We've got a whole lot.
Thousands of others. We can't really name them right now, but there's so many we can't name. Thousands.
That's right. They know who they are, and we appreciate you. But I'm just curious your thoughts on whether it'd be more advantageous to be a two seed and stay closer to home than be a one seed. Because if Tennessee's a one seed, it's going to be in the West region, and they're going to get shipped out west. So I'm curious what you think is more advantageous.
I think traditional thinking here would say a team would prefer to be close to home, to have their home fans, you know, in attendance. You go and you look at where Tennessee would play if they were a two seed in the South, and Tennessee is playing in Charlotte. If they were a one seed in the West, the first couple of games, Salt Lake City, Memphis, and Omaha, and Arizona right now is listed as number one seed playing in Salt Lake City. So I would probably prefer playing in Charlotte. And I think, honestly, I think that South region, going off of Joe Lunardi's bracket so far, I think you hop and skip to the Elite Eight versus Houston. Now, Duke is the third seed playing in Pittsburgh there in the South region, who you would face in the Sweet 16. But, like, I mean, I think that region is very favorable for Tennessee. But Tennessee is a good team. I can look at each region and say, that's pretty favorable. Because Tennessee's good.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's only two teams in the country that truly, if I'm Tennessee, I'm hoping that I avoid. It's Purdue, solely because of Zach Edey, and he has a great supporting cast. I'm not at all saying that. They are a great basketball team, but we've seen the Zach Edey effect with the refs on one hand, and then on the other hand, I know that fans like to say he just stands under the basket and that's the only reason he's good. That's not true. He is very, very skilled and very talented. We have seen several tall basketball players at that height, 7'4", somewhere around there, not be as productive as Zach Edey has been. But not only is he a pain to deal with just in terms of his skill set, we also know how he is refereed. And it's not favorable for other teams. And he has a great supporting cast, and he's a great passer, can kick, and they knock down shots. So I would want to avoid Purdue, and I'd want to avoid UConn because I think UConn has more talent than anybody in the tournament, and they would be my pick to win it all. But those are the only two teams that I look at and think, I mean, Houston would be a really, really tough matchup. I like Houston. I like Marquette. Those are really good basketball teams. But they don't scare me. And maybe scare is too strong of a word, but they don't worry me like a Purdue or UConn. So I'm with you there. I mean, Tennessee's going to have a favorable draw because Tennessee's going to be one of the best teams in the country going into this thing. But I do think that, I mean, I'm sure there's some analytics, Swain, that strongly disagree, and you can tell me if I'm off my rocker. But I don't think there's a huge difference in getting the one seed and the two seed. Like, to me, over the course of history, statistics say you just at least need a top four seed, really, to have success in March. That's what history tells you is that you need to be a top four seed. But I just don't think that there's a huge difference between a two seed and staying close to home and being a one seed and having to go out west to Salt Lake City. I don't think there's a huge difference there. I know personally, with baby boy number two due on the 22nd, the first Friday of the NCAA tournament, I would love to see Charlotte. I'd love to see Tennessee playing in Charlotte.
There's a difference,
man. So I can jet back.
I know you're not saying it's not a big difference, but it's a difference where you can stay on the Eastern time zone rather than going to Mountain time zone and travel.
No, I'm saying yeah. But I'm saying with the two seed, like between the one and two seed, because the two seed you're staying in that time zone. The one seed you're going out west.
I know, but I'm saying that's the difference. Like that's a pretty big difference. You don't think it's a pretty big difference?
It is.
Okay.
No, I do, but that wasn't what I said. I'm saying I don't think there's a big difference between being the number one seed. I mean, we don't know the logistics of where Tennessee is going to be playing right now. I'm saying just take the location out of it, just simply on the seed is what I'm saying. I don't think there's a big difference between being a number one seed and the number two seed. Yeah. Does that make sense?
The location is is the reason why we haven't the discussion, like, because if the location didn't matter, then obviously you want to be the number one seed because you're supposed to get the better draw as a number one seed versus number two seed. But I think the location makes it attractive to say, you know what, hey man, number two Charlotte, hey, might be better than number one in Salt Lake City. And only reason I say Salt Lake City,
that's what I'm saying,
is because that's where Arizona is slated right now to play their first game is in Arizona. I do want to hit this one point, then we'll go to the phones. And this is from Vol Fan. Says, I wouldn't compare this basketball team to the 22 baseball team. The baseball team was dominant from start to finish until the tournament. They didn't face adversity until they lost. basketball team is on the way all year. They haven't won every game by 20 points. They have found a way to win no matter how the game was going, even though they had to grind it out. That's not the point. The point is, when we made the comparison, the point was how you feel about the team heading into postseason. That was the comparison. That you felt good about the 22 baseball team heading into the postseason winning a championship. That you felt good about the 2018-19 basketball team because of what they did in the regular season heading into the postseason. And we feel good about this team heading into the postseason the same way. That's the comparison. Nothing else about how they got to this point, how dominant they were, who was the star. That's not the point. The point is how you feel about the team as far as confidence, being able to win going into the postseason. That's the comparison. And that's a pretty fair comparison. Because a lot of folks feeling really good. But it's hard. And it takes some luck. It takes some luck. It's hard. But hopefully Tennessee can make it happen this year. This team deserves it. All right, let's get to the phones. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, is it Gene?
It's Gene.
Good morning, Gene.
How y'all doing this morning?
Wonderful. Hope you are too.
Good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just got back from New York City, so we're...
New York City?
Oh, yeah. I think we'd rather have the one seed, even if we're out west, because I would much rather face Arizona and face Houston, and we would be in Houston's bracket if we're the two seed.
Yeah, that game, that game would be in Dallas. I meant to say this right quick. Ben said his two teams that he really ain't trying to see is Purdue and UConn. My two teams would be UConn and Houston. Because Houston got the taller version of the guys they live point guard, and they got some straight dogs around them. They play some really tough defense. And a shooting day, bad shooting day for Tennessee will not bode well. And beating a team twice, which is what Purdue will have to do in the same season, is difficult. And Tennessee shot 27% from three. That was when Zakai Ziegler was not the same physically as Zakai Ziegler we see now. And Don Connect only had 16 points in that game. That's a bad night for Don Connect now. This team is a lot better than the team that lost to Purdue. So I don't mind playing Purdue again.
Well, Arizona has shown themselves to be vulnerable. They lost to Oregon State. They lost to Washington State. They lost to Stanford by 18 points.
They got some bad losses.
These other guys have lost three games, and all three of their losses have been to great teams. So, yeah, if I'm looking at it objectively, I'd much rather be in a bracket with Arizona as our two than being a bracket as Houston as our one.
I mean, it would be a true away game. You know, playing against Arizona in L.A., we know that when you look at Arizona, that is a basketball school, and so you better anticipate those Arizona basketball fans to travel. That's a blue blood. They will be there. It will be an away game for Tennessee.
I think we're going to have away games, and we've had away games, you know. The whole first part of the season was Rick Barnes preparing this team for that kind of thing.
100%. 100%. But you don't perform the way you performed this season and schedule the teams that you scheduled and beating them to not be in a position that favors you as much as possible in the Elite Eight, playing for a chance to go to the Final Four. Like you do everything that you've done this season to be able to play closer to home with the chance to go to the Final Four. I mean, that's like
plus on the Tennessee's never had a number one seed. This is accomplishing something we've never had.
Listen, man, if we can be a number one seed and go to the Final Four, I'm all for it.
Yeah,
but
why not check that box?
Yeah, like being a number one seed is not necessarily on my list of goals, but going to the Final Four would be on my list of goals. And so, like, if you can say, all right, you could be number one seed and go to the Final Four, or be a number two seed and go to the Final Four.
Yeah, you'd rather have the four.
Yeah, I would rather be number one seed and go to the Final Four if both scenarios play out that way. But, like, I don't want to be number one seed and not get to the Final Four. Like, I want to put myself in the best position to get to the Final Four. So
I just think our better chance to get to the Final Four is against Kansas and not Houston.
Okay.
I'm with you on that one.
I'm with you on that one, Gene. Yeah. I'm with you on that one. Houston tough, man. And Kansas, they fell off in the last couple of weeks.
They have, basketball's my favorite sport. Is a Tennessee killer.
Shut up, man.
Yeah. Basketball's my favorite sport, so I am really enjoying this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gene. Hey, man, good points today. Thank you, man. Thanks for the phone call. Let's keep it moving. Good morning.
What's up, guys? It's DZ in Milwaukee.
What's up, DZ?
Hey, man, ready to get on this plane in a little bit, but just still excited from last night. I had a quick question because I don't have the brackets up in front of me, and I'm sure I'm about to answer my own question. But regarding that South, between the South and the West regions, I would assume that the main reason that Houston would get the South region over Tennessee is because they would be, I guess, a higher number one seed.
Yes,
is that okay?
Yes, yeah, why?
And then is that Sweet 16 regional? Is that the one that's in Dallas? In the
South. Where is it? So you would play. I don't see where exactly it would be.
Okay, because I know Dallas.
But I'm assuming Dallas. I'm assuming Dallas. Oh.
Okay, so that would make sense. So in that scenario, I definitely would rather be a two seed and play Purdue if possible. I know when we played them earlier this year.
Purdue's in the Midwest. You know,
right.
Houston's Purdue, in the South.
So where would we – let's just say we don't get the one seed. They give it to Arizona. Then do you think we'd be the two in Arizona's region then, since they would be the lowest – one seed?
Lenardi has two in Tennessee. Excuse me, in the South, in Dallas region.
Okay, and then going against Houston.
Yeah, in the Elite Eight for the Final Four if both teams won out.
Okay. Yeah, I'd much rather play Purdue than UConn or Houston, but I don't know. I like our chances. Either way, UConn would be – that'd be tough.
They're good.
Yeah, they're real good.
Things on them, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. On
them. They shot the lights out that day.
Right. Did it finally stop raining down there?
Yeah, finally, man. Finally, dude. I guess like sometime this morning it's finally stopped.
Okay, good. So Ben is the baseball series looking a little better now, or weather-wise?
I have not checked the weather. I have not thought one thought about this upcoming weekend because the last couple of days have been very busy. According to my phone, there's a 40% chance of rain on Friday and a 65% chance of rain on Saturday.
Jeez. Okay, well, I'll take it. I got tickets to two baseball games and a softball game on Sunday. So I'm just hoping I be able to see one or two of the games and not have to deal with a rain out. But like I said, excited to get down there a little bit later on. And I know the city's going to be rocking this weekend. I can't wait to get to the Food City Center on Saturday and hopefully smack around Kentucky one more time. Ben, one more quick question. You took a video, you shot a video last night after the game, after the players were celebrating and stuff. And I noticed in the background, DK was kind of on the sideline by himself. And somebody, looks like it may have been a former player with the Tennessee hat on, kind of hugged it up and dapped it up with him. Do you recall who that was?
Swain is former teammate Chris Walker on the football field.
Yeah, he works.
Former Tennessee football defensive lineman Chris Walker. He go ahead, Swain.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You was going there. My bad.
No, you go. FCA director on campus.
Okay, I don't think it was Chris because Chris wears, I think he was wearing like a black polo, right? Because he's normally with the team, correct?
You saw Shane Hogan?
Yeah, so it was on a video that you posted. Most of the video was showing the guys walking back into the locker room with all of the fans kind of there in the corner. But DK was still kind of on the court. I don't know if he had like a flag in his hand or something like that. And there was someone in Tennessee colors, obviously, and wasn't much shorter than DK.
It was Chris Walker.
Okay.
Seawalk wasn't a black polo, but he had put on the SEC championship t-shirt over the polo, and DK was finishing up his TV interview on the floor, which is why he was the last one out there. And Chris Walker brought him a t-shirt and a hat out there, and he's the one that they hugged it up with. DK and Chris Walker are very, very close. Chris does great work on campus through FCA and other things as well, and has great relationships with a lot, if not all, of Tennessee student athletes across campus. He does a phenomenal job, and he and DK have gotten very, very close. So the guy that DK was hugging it out with was Seawalk, and he was in a black polo last night, but he had put on the championship t-shirt over the polo.
Yeah, they always play like a little game of one-on-one before every game, too.
Nice. Yeah. Well, Seawalk, that's a big dude. So,
yeah. Remember when Tennessee unveiled the black uniforms with the black outline on the helmet in 2021 because we couldn't get the black helmets in? Seawalk is the one who unveiled it to the team. Like, he dressed up and surprised the team with it. And I don't know if you remember that video, but everyone got really, really hyped. But that was Seawalk, who looks more fit now than he did as a player.
Yeah, he
did. They didn't ask you?
Huh?
What? They didn't ask you to do it? They didn't ask you to model the jersey?
Hell no. All right, Diesel, we got another call behind you.
All right, fellas. I'll hit y'all up later on.
See ya. All right, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Hello?
Is it me, Jay?
Yes, you. It's all you. Good morning.
Hey, y'all. Be kind. I'm only about a third of the way into this cup of coffee.
What's up, man? Who we speaking with this morning?
It's Rusty.
Rusty, what's up? Sorry, man. Didn't recognize you at first.
It's all good. Want to talk just real quick about the game and then about the tournament. My only take on the game was I hate playing that team. That's not the matchup I like us playing. That type of team going to try to use 28 seconds on the possession clock. But we grounded it out and found a way. My only play of the game that really stands out huge. Love seeing the refs swallow the whistle when 55 pump faked and got Meshack to jump to his right and not come down on him. And then 55 tried to jump into Meshack to get the contact instead of just going up and shooting, and the ref swallowed the whistle and made the right call. I love that part. That's my favorite moment of the game.
Yeah. Hey, if it's not a foul, did he really swallow the whistle?
No, but they call it. They actually blow the whistle on that steal. There was a rule change like 3 years ago saying once you're in your shot pocket, when you go up and you get the defender to jump, if he doesn't come down where you started from and you go initiate the contact, it's not a foul. But they used to call it all the time, and some of those refs still get it wrong. I guarantee you Pat Adams would have called it. We know he would have. But they got it right, and it was great to see because that could have been huge. I think we were up 4 when they did that. I mean, we could have been inbounding the ball up 1 with 15 to go. But so basically, we're going to Charlotte for the first weekend no matter what, unless I guess there's some kind of collapse and Duke and Carolina both pass us on the scale. Or what it would have to be is if we ended up a 2 and they both are 2s, then because there's going to be 2 2s in Charlotte, there's going to be from one region or another. And if we're all 3-2s, Duke and Carolina are closer to Charlotte, so they would be sent there because geographic, and we'd go to Memphis, I guess. But if Duke doesn't – what now? What? Which part doesn't make sense?
Why would they send us to Memphis if we are the number 2 seed?
Because the first round pods have nothing to do with whether you're in the West, East, Midwest, or South. The first weekend is just geographical, and they can put pods wherever they want to. So the twos, the four twos are going to go to the closest places they can possibly go, and two of them can be in Charlotte. So it's probably going to be us in Carolina, because Duke probably isn't getting the two line. Or if we're a one and Carolina's a two, we can, we'll both go there. It's only if Duke and Carolina are even with us or above us that we wouldn't go to Charlotte, is the way this breaks down. The next option, I guess, is Memphis. I've heard Indianapolis is closer than Memphis to Knoxville, but I don't know. But
Indy is 5 hours. Memphis is six.
Well, so maybe it's we go to Indy, because it's all about geographics. And that for even if we're the one seed out west, we can go to Charlotte or Indy, basically. And Charlotte's all likely, as long as Duke and Carolina aren't even with us.
Yeah, that's. I'm trying to compute that, because I'm looking at this Joe Lunardi bracket, and it has the number two in Charlotte. And in this case, yeah, that Tennessee.
That Lunardi thing, it's just a guy. He's just using it as what possibilities. There's no set in stone what. There's no set in stone, like, the West is tied to Charlotte or Salt Lake City or Indy or Memphis or anywhere else. It's all just He's just saying, hey, this is where what it could happen at. Yeah. None of that's even close.
Because I see Memphis. Right here in the South, and Memphis is in the West too, in the first round. So I see what you're saying.
Right. There's so many different things there. But apparently Charlotte's almost a lock for us in the first weekend, which I don't want to be where Carolina's at, because, you know, you're going to go to Charlotte and it's going to be half a Carolina crowd cheering against you. When you
the Vol Hills.
I hate them people. So as far as the region, West, East, Midwest, South, and the teams, of course, nothing. The most important thing is, like you said, the matchups in your path. And we don't know who those are going to be, at least until the Elite Eight. We have no idea who we could possibly be matching up with. And it really just comes down to teams that could give us a fit or not give us a fit.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the team I don't want to play in the Elite Eight, and I want to avoid playing this team until the Final Four, is Houston. I don't want any part of Houston. They are South Carolina on steroids.
Mm-hmm.
They grind you. They play defense. They don't let you penetrate. They don't let you get by them. They use the shot clock, and they slow the game down to their pace, and they make it. And they got a stud in Shed. I don't. And they offensive rebound like it's like their life depends on it.
Yeah,
I don't
their problem. Their problem, Rusty. Now I'm with you. I'm with you, Rusty. Man, I am so with you, Rusty. And hey, man, thanks for getting up early, chopping it up with us. I don't want to sit here and start having everybody tell us who they don't want to play after we just won the SEC regular season. I don't want to start that trend of naming teams that we don't want to play. Like, it was just one little comment. You gave one little comment.
And I tell you, they don't want to play Don Kinnick.
I don't know, man. I would think that a Houston coach team by Sampson would want to play Don Kinnick. But it'll be a hell of a matchup, that's for sure. No doubt about that. 865. Well,
the players on every team in the country are not talking the way that we are. They could care less who they play, because they think they can beat anybody in the country.
Which is how they should feel. They should feel that way. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Our last break of the morning here on the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go. Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation, this is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline. Impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
All right, let's go back to the phones. I want to say I know who this is because they sent in a text on the Beatty Chevrolet text box and told us to answer the phones. We'll see. Good morning.
As Shaggy said, it wasn't me.
It wasn't you. No, it wasn't you. It wasn't you.
Guys, ain't God good?
All time.
Oh, man, that was so fun. And they made us sweat it out at the end, which y'all might not have sweated out like I am. You know, I'm eternal pessimist. But it definitely had me sweating at the end.
Hey, man, we still love you. I was good, man. I was good.
And, you know, we didn't cut the nets down in their gym, so, you know, that's a problem. I hope nobody breaks in the turkey man's house and puts feet up on the coffee table, like you said.
Yeah, or cook butt naked in his kitchen.
I really don't have much. I just wanted to call and celebrate with y'all and, you know, ask this. It is Kentucky, thankfully. I think I'd be a little more worried of a letdown game if it wasn't them, but do y'all kind of worry about that, like the emotions running so high last night and coming in? Or do you think that senior day – Swain, I know you've talked about in football in the past, like senior day is hard, but the walking through the tee, does that kind of apply to basketball as well?
I wouldn't know. I would probably have to ask someone who played in that environment. I would say, though, when you're playing a really good team, it forces you to snap out of it quicker. You know, when it was senior day – and that's how it is now. Like, you play against Kentucky and Vanderbilt, and you beat them normally anyway. So you look at the crowd. There's not a lot of people there when it's a Florida game or a Bama game or a Georgia game. It's just not the same crowd. So, like, that plays into it. But it's going to be live on Saturday because it's Kentucky. So I think those guys will have their moment, but they'll snap out of it and go play.
We can still get that one seed would be Kentucky, don't you think?
Hey, Dyke saying Tennessee locked it down last night.
Apparently, Joe Lenardi moved Tennessee up to the one seed.
He did?
See, wasn't Lenardi the same guy, too, though?
Let me refresh.
I'm going over to the bracketology. Let's see, updated. I don't know what the tweet was about because it doesn't say that he's updated.
Yeah,
anything.
It ain't updated on the.
Maybe it was it's not updated, so I'm not sure what the tweet was about.
Yeah, not yet. Oh, 20 hours ago. Hold on. Yeah, 20 hours ago, he still has Tennessee on that two seed line, five overall. That tweet was. What time was that tweet? He sent that out. 1:30-ish yesterday, but that was before the South Carolina game. So, whatever. We'll get an update from Joe here.
It looks like he tweeted out there was a graphic on Sports Center that I guess they were interviewing Joe Lunardi, and he listed Houston, Tennessee, UConn, and Purdue as his four number one seeds. So I guess he just hasn't updated it in his bracketology, but he is talking about Tennessee as a number one seed now.
There you go. That's how you do your journalism thing right there, Ben. Good job.
Big J, Ben. I don't have a lot of faith in Lunardi. I mean, I could see him, like, even we beat Kentucky and then, like, get put out early SEC tournament, him dropping us to two because we didn't advance in the SEC tournament, even after we did win the tournament a few years ago, and he didn't up us to one seed that year.
Yeah, because he knows that the tournament don't matter.
Well, I'm worried that kind of changes to him, though. I mean, it seems like that always does with these bracketology guys.
Well, I mean, he's going off what he's been told. I feel like, I mean, those guys get the information from somewhere.
Joe Lunardi's typically not the most accurate bracketologist out there. He's just the most recognizable because of who he works for and how long he's been doing it. But there are people that go back and assess the several
situation
outlets and people who they go back and they grade. And Lunardi doesn't necessarily pass with flying colors. And ultimately, this is probably all a moot point. It is fun to talk about, but last year, everybody thought Tennessee was going to Greenville, and they end up in Orlando. So, unfortunately, there's no real way of knowing until Selection Sunday, obviously. And I think the more intriguing conversation is not necessarily – well, it is where Tennessee plays, but – would it be more beneficial to be the one seed out west or be the two seed closer to home? Nathaniel and Big Willie Style did give the statistics on teams who are one seeds. One seeds have a 40.5% chance to make the Final Four. Two seeds have a 21.6% chance. That's what Nathaniel said. And then since expanding to 64 teams, 61 seeds have made the Final Four and won 24 championships, compared to 32 two seeds winning five titles, according to Big Willie Style. So obviously there's some statistical evidence of being the number one seed is more beneficial, but I don't at all think it would be the end of the world if Tennessee ended up with a two seed and gets to play closer to home. I think there are benefits with that as well.
All right,
yeah, I just want the easiest path, and we know that stat that Barnes has won Final Four. He was the one seed, but that's all I got, guys. I'm enjoying the show.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the phone call. Right now, this month at Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, you can enter to win the Happy Golden Ticket Sweepstakes. This is at Hiller. All you have to do is go to hillergoldenticket.com, enter your email, and then you are automatically entered to win prizes. These prizes include a $5,000 Hiller gift card, a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships, or take advantage of 0% interest for 48 months on select new HVAC systems, or 36 months on tankless water heaters and whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now. Go to the website. That is hillergoldenticket.com. Ben, you moved in yet? You got that office looking better than before?
No, not at all. Maybe we'll get to work on it this weekend, but this weekend will also be very busy. I'm in my new home, though, thanks to the GOAT, Jennifer Morris, who also said on the text box a moment ago that DZ and Milwaukee just needs to move to Knoxville, and I certainly agree with that.
Correct.
And for DZ and anybody who is looking to move to America's college sports town, as Jennifer says, just call Jennifer. It's a good time in Knoxville, and you will not regret it. And as I always say, I have two testimonies working with Jennifer, and both times buying and selling homes and moving in, she has been the absolute GOAT and just takes a lot of stress of the moving process away, both from the financial aspect and helping you along those lines and getting everything worked out with the headaches that come with buying a home and selling a home. But then she's also checking up on you constantly, making sure you have everything you need and asking if you need help while you're also moving in. So cannot recommend Jennifer Morris enough. And real quick before
I get out of here and start making my way back to Knoxville, Swain, because I am dying to get out of Columbia, South Carolina. I did want to give a shout out to Dorian. I met Dorian last night on the text, or he's on the text box this morning, but I also met Dorian last night after the game. He was kind enough to come over and say hello and shake my hand. So I appreciated meeting Dorian last night, and certainly we appreciate Dorian for being a big-time Swain Event listener. He was rocking his Donk Connect jersey last night. He was in the building, and he was fired up to listen to the Swain Event this morning. So I just want Dorian to know that appreciate you introducing yourself last night, and we certainly appreciate you listening to us each and every Tuesday and Thursday morning.
Oh, that's cool right there, man. Big thanks to Dorian, man. Big props to Dorian. All right, I'm going to run through this text box. My friend, to be the best, you have to beat the best. Don't matter. Vols by 50, according to Bo from Riceville. Brian Hunsucker says, how slow do you drive, Ben? Memphis, 6 hours. I don't know if Ben drives slow. I think Ben drives
slow. I'm sorry, Brian Hunsucker. I was wrong. Apple Maps says Memphis is 5 hours and 47 minutes from Knoxville to Memphis. I'm sorry for adding 13 minutes on and saying it's 6 hours. And it's 5 hours and 7 minutes from Knoxville to Indianapolis. So I apologize for adding 7 minutes.
Terrell says, everybody scares me. This may be the worst season I've had as far as nerve goes because the expectations are at an all-time high. So everyone in the tournament scares me. The realest statement made today is from Tramiel. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's March Madness. That's March Madness. You're supposed to feel that way. If you want to avoid that feeling, here's my advice to you. Don't be a sports fan. Like, you want to be emotionally invested and have a team and you know, be on that roller coaster with that team when they're up high? Well, that means you got to be down there when they're low, too. And you're scared of disappointment? If you're scared of disappointment, you don't need to be a sports fan. If you're scared of disappointment, you don't need to have relationships, intimate or with friends. If you're scared of disappointment, you just need to do nothing. Just sit in your room and just do nothing. If you're scared of disappointment. But if you want to fly high, you have to do it at the risk of maybe falling. Those are the rules. If you want to achieve something great, you have to do it at the risk of maybe failing. But if you're scared to fail, then you'll never be great. If you're scared of being disappointed, then you'll never really have the feeling of pure joy when your team wins a championship or wins at the highest level. Because you're so afraid of being disappointed and let down. No, this is what March Madness is all about. This is what it's about. Every game you should be scared. I don't care if we're playing a 15 seed. Now, if your team is up 30 points or so, okay, you feel a little bit better. Up 20 points, okay, you feel maybe a little bit better. But it's single elimination. You're playing a team that you've never played before, more times than not. It is totally different than the conference regular season where you play a team twice. You know what they're going to do. You play them each year twice. You know their style. You know their plays. You know their sets. You prepare for them. It is different in tournament when you have a couple of hours to prep for a team and you just don't know who's going to step up one day. That's March Madness. If I see a tweet about, I knew I shouldn't have got up. I knew I shouldn't have let my guard down. Like, if Tennessee doesn't go to the Final Four, I knew I shouldn't let my guard down. The most beta message ever. I knew I shouldn't. If they get to the Elite Eight and fall short by a point, I knew I shouldn't let my guard down. You know what, dude? Go live in a bubble. Go live in surround wrap. Because I'm disappointed. You ain't more disappointed than the players. Ben, just get back to Knoxville. Get back to Knoxville. Drive safe. I was about to say drive slow, but drive safe. Drive slow, too. Like you pulled over. Drive safe. We'll see you here in a couple of hours. Swain Event. We'll see you on Tuesday. We are fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Tennessee, Kentucky this weekend. Baseball going on. Tennessee Athletics continuing to kind of be the standard right now. A lot of winning. Great. For Ben McKee of GoFalls247, I'm Jason Swain. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Peace and love, everybody. Have a great rest of your day and a great weekend.